blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 391, stanzas 1 through 4. When morning lights the eastern skies, O Lord, thy mercy show. On thee alone my hope relies. Let me thy kindness know. 1 through 4 of Psalter 391. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Psalm 86. Psalm 86. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, and the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 86. A prayer of David. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast hope in me and comforted me. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning both Chad Outsorn and Dustin Grisnick, who must go to the hospital in this coming week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, living and eternal Lord, we are entered into thy holy house in this morning hour of thy holy day. Lord, thou knowest all that is within and all that is without. There is a great enemy, and Lord, he does seek still the destruction of thy church. He has been busy even from the beginning to come unto our first parents. And he was the instrument for the destruction of the human race. He was the instrument for the death, the spiritual death of each and every one of us. And we lie and now in that death by nature. Thou makest a difference between us and so many in this world who may not come unto thy house, where thy word was never brought. Thou bringest us under the preaching of thy everlasting gospel. And Lord, that enemy, then he comes up with us. He is, thou sayest, a strong man, and he is armed, and he keepeth his palace, so that all his goods may be in peace. And Lord, so he is also with us in this morning. Lord, may thou remember us, because we need to be delivered out of his strong armed hand. And when in this morning hour he will once again attempt to keep thy word from entering into the heart of men, when he will bring all the distractions of this world, when he will bring evil thoughts, when he will bring rebellious thoughts, when he will bring rebellion itself, Lord, thou knowest all that is going on, even in the heart of each and every one of us with our dear children. For he is the strong man armed, but thou art stronger. Thou art almighty. Lord, if we try to draw near to thee, here is the place that thou hast instituted in order to overthrow him and to cast him out. Thou hast instituted the preaching of thy holy word. Thou hast sent out thy disciples. Thou hast promised to be with them even to the end of the world. And they were to preach thy word. They were to cast out the devils. And Lord, we ask of thee in this morning hour that thou may remember what thou hast spoken to them in that day when thou didst say, lo, I am with thee even unto the end of the world. Lord, it is thy own word. It is thy own promise. And we beseech thee that thou may remember us in this morning hour, and that thou may come to cast out that enemy out of the heart of each and every one of us, and that thou would give us a new heart, that thou may give us a heart that may have ears to hear, that may have a will, that may have a desire, that I may have a longing, a hunger, and a thirst after the true and the living God. Lord, that is not our work. We cannot cast him out. But thou art alive, and thou art the ruler over the whole world. Oh, that thou may look on us then, and in the days in which we live with our dear children, and wherein we often call them dark days for the lack of the working of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, thou who art the same yesterday, today, and forever, may thou show thyself. Lord, may thou arise and let thine enemies be scattered, and that we and our children may receive the benefit thereof. Oh, to whom else can we go in this day? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and then there is power at thy right hand. Oh, stretch it forth then. Oh, open to us as undeserving creatures the windows of heaven, and pour us yet out a blessing, that there may not be room enough to receive it. Lord, that is the work that belongeth to thy Holy Spirit. And thou who hast accomplished the salvation of thy church in thy only begotten Son, and thou who hast paid the price so fully, even to the last drop, oh, that thou may also remember us in this day by the sending forth of the third person of thy Holy Trinity. Lord, wilt thou command him to go forth in this morning, and that he may be feelingly, that he may believingly be in the midst of us for the conversion of the unconverted, of the unconcerned in their dangerous way, as they travel to a never-ending eternity, to a just judgment, and to a righteous condemnation, if nothing takes place between the cradle and the grave. Lord, it belongeth alone for thee, to thee to work. Remember also thy own flock, thy own people. Oh, thou hast also promised unto thy disciples when thou would go away, then thou would still remain with them, that thou by thy Spirit would come, and that thou would dwell in the midst of them, that thou would instruct them, that thou would bring to remembrance all the things that thou had spoken to them. And thou knowest also then the needs of thy church, as it is in this holy day. Lord, may thou visit them from above. May thou give them the necessary instruction as they are traveling on as a pilgrim here below, that thou may give them the necessary rebuke when they are wandering off of that narrow way that leadeth unto life, that thou would give the necessary comforts when their hearts are fearful, when the enemy does cast his arrows, and when they have no might against that great company that cometh against them. Lord, may thou visit them then in this day to show them a token for good, that thou may be present in our midst, and that thy children may it sing the beginning of that eternal song of Moses and the Lamb for a few moments by the exercise of that true saving faith. Lord, we beseech thee, thou who alone hast the power, thou who alone hast the might, that thou would draw near to us, that thou would show us the light of thy countenance, and that thou would distribute thy blessing from pew to pew in this morning hour, as thou seest fit and as thou seest necessary. Lord, remember us undeservedly for the sake of thy great and thy holy and thy worthy name, which will be honored and praised forever and forever on account of thy work. Lord, look upon us and all the natural needs also, the two children that must go into the hospital, one for a procedure and the other for surgery, and thou knowest all the needs of their bodies. Lord, may thou remember both of them in the week to come, and when they come under the hand of human physicians who cannot heal, but Lord, give them wisdom, give them skill, and wilt thou as the great physician go before for the strengthening and the healing of their bodies. And may thou visit also them and their families in these anxious ways. Lord, may thou bring them closer to thy footstool, and may thy goodness bring to a true repentance. Lord, be with all widows, widowers, and orphans, and all the needs and cares of this life in the lonely ways that they are called to travel here below. Oh, that thy presence may be felt also from day to day, and that they may experience something of thy faithfulness, and that thou art a husband unto the widows, and that thou art a father unto the fatherless. Look upon our young people. Lord, thou knowest how that enemy, that he is especially attacking the youth amongst us, that he has so many inventions, and that we do not even know them all. Lord, he comes with attacks from the outside. He comes with his lures on the inside, and then he is working to draw our wicked hearts. Oh, that thou may keep our youth, that thou may be a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left, that they may be kept from evil and from sin, and from going in the ways that the natural heart desires.
Lord, when thy truth may be brought in the midst of us, oh, give us then not to take away the sharp edges thereof, but that also our youth may be given to love that truth, that they may be given to experience it in their own soul, that it may become for them a precious way, and that the need for thy dear Son, for the forgiveness of all their sin, and that it may be bound upon their young souls. Lord, wilt thou then watch over us for good in this day, and all the needs and the cares that there are in the congregation. Also, those that are become old, they are in their own homes, or that are in the nursing home. Lord, remember each one. And wilt thou give a blessing upon thy Sabbath day? Strengthen every one of thy servants that goes forth to bring thy word. Lord, when thou hast truly called, may thou also show thyself to uphold and strengthen on every side. And above all, to show thy calling by the fruit which will be manifest in that never-ending eternity. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 232, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, to us thy mercy show, and thy salvation now bestow. We wait to hear what God will say. Peace to his people he will speak, and to his saints. But let them seek no more in folly's path to stray. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 232. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in the book of Genesis, and thereof the 13th chapter, verses 14 through 18. Genesis 13, verses 14 through 18. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. So far the words of our text. A blessed confirmation in the life of Abram. First, the circumstances of this confirmation. Second, the substance of this confirmation. And third, the fruit of this confirmation. A blessed confirmation in the life of Abram, first the circumstances, second the substance, and third the fruit of this confirmation. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him. Lot, congregation, is now gone his way. He's gone his way with his flocks and with his herds and with his men servants and his maid servants. He has departed. Abraham watches him go. Cannot but be that Abraham has felt something of an empty place, because this Lot, he has become somewhat of a son unto Abram. And when he has lost his own father, and Abram has taken him, as it were, under his own wings, and Abram has given to him instruction, and he has given to him direction in his young life. And when he may have his communion, and now a Lot departs, and it cannot but be that there is felt something of an empty place in that heart of Abram. There is much such sorrow in this world. And that sorrow also of departure and of missing of one another, that is all a consequence of our own sin. But there must also have been in the heart of Abram something which sorrowed because of the conduct of his nephew. When he has seen in him in these days the covetousness that lay in his heart, when he has seen in him something of the inconsiderateness that lay in his character, then it is often those whom we love the most that are causing us by times the most grief in our life. Lot has gone his way, and Abram is left alone. Is that true, boys and girls? Is that so? That Abram is now left alone? What do you think? We do not read that, do we? No, we read something very different here. What do we read? And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, thus Abram is not alone. No, Lot is not with him, but the Lord comes. And the Lord visits his servant Abram. Or are there those who may be jealous of this man? When he has to experience the sorrows and the disappointments that are in this life, and that he receives such a great recompense. And what is that recompense? That the Lord himself comes to visit him, to speak with him. And the Lord said unto Abram, who is now able to comprehend the great condescension of the Lord, that is the Most High God of heaven and of earth, and that he is coming to speak comfortably unto fallen man outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is impossible, because outside of him, then there is only wrath, there is only condemnation, and that justly towards fallen mankind. Thus, that is a great wonder that the Lord is coming to speak unto Abram. But here is also even a greater wonder. And what is the greater wonder that we read here? That is, that this is now the third time that the Lord comes to speak unto Abram. There are those in the midst of us who would say that would be the greatest wonder if the Lord would come, and if the Lord would speak also to my soul, as the Lord speaks unto the souls of his children. Oh, if but once the Lord may descend from heaven, if but once, when we may be gathered together in that house of the Lord, if the Lord would also look in mercy upon me, and that the Lord would also show me a token for good to speak once unto my poor soul. But then there are others. And they would say, or it would even be a greater wonder. It would be a greater wonder when the Lord would now come again. It would be a greater wonder when the Lord would now come a second time, when the Lord would visit me now a third time in my life. And why a greater wonder? Because of what they are and what they remain. Because of that self-knowledge that is gained by that church day by day, and that sin that is after received grace, that is sin that is weightier, and then that sin that is before grace, whereof Paul says, I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And thus it is very understandable from the side of that people who have received a visit from the Lord, to whom the Lord has spoken in their life, when they see what that a fountain of iniquity continues to bring forth, then it is to them understandable that the Lord would never return unto them again. And the Lord said unto Abram after that Lot was separated from him, the mercy of the Lord that is so very great. And that mercy of the Lord in its greatness is also experienced to be so
in the life of God's people. The Lord is coming to Abram again. When? In a time of grief. In a time of sorrow. That is, young people, what the world misses. Do you miss that too? And are you jealous of the world when they have to miss this greatest blessing that the Lord bestows upon his people in the time of grief, in the time of sorrow, in the time of trial, of difficulty in this world, and that the Lord is coming and that he is visiting his people? Oh, it is true. Abraham, he must now miss the company of his nephew. And that amidst a hostile world, that land in which he is dwelling. But Abram does not have to miss in this same country the presence of the Lord. Blessed Abram. Do you think so too, boys and girls? Or will you not go on your knees in your young life? And will you not beg the Lord that the Lord would also give you that portion that you may hear this day of God's servant Abram? And the Lord, he knows every one of the needs of his children. And he is coming to visit his children in that need. We see that the sea that is boiling under those disciples. And what does the Lord do? He comes to visit them. And he comes to speak so that sea may be calm again. And we see those disciples with all the riddles and all the questions on the way to Emmaus. And the Lord is coming to visit his people in all their perplexities and to open unto them the meaning of his holy word. And so the Lord now comes to Abram. And what does the Lord say when he now speaks to Abram? That is our second thought, the substance of these words. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Is that new? Does the Lord say here something to Abram, and that he has not spoken unto Abram before? No, he doesn't. Because we read in the 12th chapter, and in the 7th verse, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. Thus, what is this? When the Lord is coming, and when he is speaking unto Abram, and that he is saying to Abram the same thing that he has said to him before. That is a confirmation. The Lord is repeating himself. The Lord is saying it again. The Lord is saying it for a second time in the life of his servant. Are there people here among us? Are there the Lord's people who know the necessity that the Lord would repeat it? That the Lord would say it again? That the Lord would say it for a second time? Is it now enough that the Lord has spoken to you maybe many years ago, and at that time that you were able to believe it, and that time that you were able to rejoice, At that time that you were able to speak unto your family, unto your friends, of what the Lord he has spoken unto you, is that enough now? Where is now that faith that the Lord has given to you in that time, that you may receive that word so wholeheartedly? Where is now that faith even today? Or is it not that long silence, is it not that long hiding of the countenance of the face of the Lord from you? Or is it not that this has caused so many questions to arise up within your breast? Or is it not that so many trials have now come in between that time that the Lord has spoken, and that those fresh trials also in your life, that they are bringing questions, that they are bringing riddles, whether that work of the Lord was really true in your life? Or is it not that there have been many disappointments, that there have been many sorrows, that the expectations that you had of that new life, that they have been so laid in the dust? Is it not that the impossibilities in your life, that they have only increased since that time that the Lord has spoken? So that they have grown into mountains over which, even when you may remember that word of the Lord, that you are not able anymore to believe that it could possibly be for yourself. Or what does your soul do then? Does your soul not then go out after the Lord in holy longings, with holy desires, with a cry to the God of the heavens and of the earth? O Lord, wilt thou come again? O Lord, wilt thou restore thy own work? Lord, wilt thou say again that word that thou hast spoken unto my soul so long ago? Lord, remember unto thy servant that word that thou hast caused me to hope upon. O Lord, wilt thou say unto my soul that thou art my salvation? Or what is the purpose? What is the purpose? What do you look for? What is the purpose of a confirmation from the side of the Lord? The purpose that is assurance, that you may be assured that truly it was from the Lord, and that truly it is even for such a wretched and an undone creature as you experience yourself to be day by day. And what is the purpose? And that you desire such a confirmation of that word of the Lord. Is it not for the exercise of that faith which you have known in the days that have gone by? And that once again, that your soul may take hold of that word of the Lord, and that it may not let it go. Thus, who needs such a confirmation? They need it who cannot believe. Was that also in the life of the father of the faithful? Yes. We see it here, because the Lord does not waste his grace, and the Lord does not come and give an answer where there is no need. Thus, for those who cannot believe, that is not a strange way in the life of that church, not even to those unto whom the Lord has spoken in their life. Then we hear of Manoah. He says, Lord, send thy servant again, that he may speak to us how we shall order the child. So we hear of Gideon. He says, Lord, wilt thou come again? Wilt thou show me a second time? The Lord is even pleased to come to him, to give it to him a third time. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward for all the land which thou seest. To thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. Oh, the Lord deemed it necessary to say it again unto his servant Abram. And so the Lord deems it necessary to confirm it also in the life of his own church here below. And that inheritance, that eternal inheritance, that indeed shall be theirs. And that is why he assures the meek that they shall inherit the earth. No, and that is not for this natural world that would last for Abram in a natural way till the end of the dispensation to which it pertained, that Old Testament dispensation. But it speaks especially about that spiritual kingdom. And so the Lord is assuring his church that spiritual kingdom and that belongeth unto them. Or are there those whose religion that is so mocked by that nominal Christendom, a Christendom that is able to take faith into their own hands, a Christendom that is able to believe when they wish to believe? Or does Satan also come? And does Satan say that it is not from the Spirit of the Lord in your life? No, but it is from that spirit that is from below. It is actually the spirit of Beelzebub. Oh, this is why that Paul is coming to assure that church by the word of the Lord that if we suffer with him, then we shall also reign with him. Oh, that is now the inheritance. That is now the land. It is now so full of enemies. But the Lord, he is going to take all those enemies in his own time away. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Thus the Lord knows every temptation. The Lord knows every question. The Lord knows every fear that is lying in the heart of his children. Thus he knows not only what they feel coming from without, but he also sees that which is dwelling in them from within. What is now the greatest hindrance for Abram to believe the promise of the Lord? What is the greatest hindrance? That is his barrenness. And the barrenness of Sarai's womb. And the Lord said he would make of him a great nation. That Abram hath maybe thoughts concerning his nephew Lot. That maybe the Lord would fulfill it through him, whom he has taken as his own son. We do not know.
And were those hopes of Abram now in this sorrowful circumstance all come to nothing? We do not know. But there is a reason the Lord came now. Because there was room. Because there was place. For what? For the consolation of the Lord within his own heart. And then there is a reason. The Lord speaks to him not only of the land in which this enemy is dwelling, but he speaks to him also about his seed. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, and then shall thy seed also be numbered. Abram, he says, you have now lost your nephew. You cannot commune with him. But remember, Abram, what I have spoken to you, that I will make of you a great nation. And Abram, my word still stands. It still stands. You still cannot see how. You still have many questions. But my word remains true. Remains true though you are now old. And though you do not have a single fruit coming out of your own loins, you cannot understand it. You cannot see through it, all these circumstances. But Abram, I will not alter that thing that has gone out of my lips. For you an impossibility. But I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. And now what is Abram called to do? Abram is called to rest here. Abram is called to rest on that bare word of the Lord. Despite everything that he sees with his eyes, despite everything that he feels within him, Abram is called to rest in this word of the Lord. And when he cannot believe it, the Lord comes again to repeat it, to say it again unto him. Congregation, there is a seed that is bound to Abram. There is not a seed in this world, but there is a seed that is bound to Abram by faith. They're also part of that seed of Abram in our midst. The Pharisees said, we are the children of Abram. But we do not become the children of Abram by saying so. No, the Lord Jesus said to them, you are of your father, the devil. Oh, what a worse state and condition can we be in, thinking to enter in, to be a child of Abraham, and not to enter in. But there is now people who live out the life of Abraham. There are people in this world who are no strangers of this leading of the Lord in the way that Abram had to go. They are a people who are as barren as the womb of Sarai, and who cannot detect one single fruit coming out of their own loins. That is a people for whom that barrenness in their life, that is from their sight, the greatest testimony against them, that it cannot be that that the Lord has spoken to me in my life. Oh, they thought when the Lord drew them, out of Ur of the Chaldees, and when the Lord gave them a new desire, then they thought that there was soon going to be fruit. There was going to be fruit from their life. And they were going to live with a different motive. They were going to live with different desires. They were going to live a different life. And as the time goes on, then they have to experience and that there is no fruit, that they are so barren, that they fear it is like that fig tree. The Lord Jesus said, no fruit henceforth from thee forever. And that is now the people who need the Lord to say it again. That is now the people that say to the Lord, wilt thou come again? And wilt thou speak again in my life? Peninnah didn't need it. She was full of children. But it was all natural. It was all from her side. And nor do we need it when we have our own righteousness, when we have our own good religion, and when we have built ourselves up in our good religion in this world. But those need it, who the further on they go in their life, they have to experience that all their righteousnesses, they are as filthy rags. A people who cannot see any fruit of that work of the Lord in their life. And that even in the end of their life, they will say, Lord, when did we see thee hungry and give thee meat? When did we see thee thirsty and give thee drink? All the people that need confirmation from above, who have to stand in the back of the temple and who do not dare to lift up their eyes to heaven, but can only smite upon their breast. O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. The people, they need a confirmation. Why? Because the knowledge of self that is increasing, what they are and what they remain. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Congregation, how can a man believe when every evidence in this world and every evidence that is in their heart is against them? How can they then believe? Paul says faith is a gift of God. And that is now the experience of that true church. And that is now why the Lord sees it necessary by times to come to say it again. Let us sing. Psalter 235. Lord, my petition heed. Now help me in my need. My Savior be. I am thy servant, Lord. My trust is in thy word. Mercy to me afford, I cry to thee. 235, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. This land that was not to be given to Lot and to his descendants, but it was to be given to Abram and to his seed. Therefore, in the providence of the Lord, Lot he has removed out of the presence of Abram. The Lord directing everything in his providence to his own ends, even though It is by times to the disappointment of his church who cannot see what those purposes and ends are. And now when Lot is removed from Abram, the Lord speaks to him, "Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." Thus the Lord commands him to journey. He must go from place to place, and he must look about him, and he must observe this whole land. What might be the purpose of the Lord when he commands Abram to do such a thing? What is Abram going to see when he goes through this land? This land, he will see the Canaanites. He will see how well that they are established when they are dwelling here and there and everywhere in this land. Oh, then he will see himself even more and more as but a stranger, as but a pilgrim who has no settled dwelling place. We would say, humanly speaking, that is a task which is only to make Abram despair of the fulfillment of that promise of the Lord. He is going to see nothing but those mountains which he is not able to overcome. But it is not so. No, because the Lord tells him how. That he must travel through this land. And how is that? That is in the exercise of faith. "For I will give it unto thee." Thus, that is to be his meditation. When he goes from place to place and every establishment that he is seeing, then he is to consider what that promise of the Lord is. "For I will give it unto thee." And when he sees those mountains of impossibilities, then no, he is not to compare it with his own strength, but he is to compare it to the strength of him who has promised this land unto him. Thus, Abram is to go through this land, and he is to view this land as one who has already conquered this land. He is to view it as already the rightful owner. "For I will give it unto thee." And this Abram is now given the strength to do. How? By the confirmation of this promise of the Lord. Then Abram removed his tent. Actually, in the Dutch Bible, and then it says that Abram tented. Thus, Abram has gone with his tent from place to place in traveling throughout this whole land. And then as he travels, then that faith of Abram may rest itself upon that word of the Lord, which he has now confirmed within the soul of Abram. Oh, these are now the times, and that that church of God may see everything actually in the right light. These are now the times that that church of God may truly see everything how that it truly is. Oh, what a blessed leaning upon that word of the Lord that the Lord has spoken unto their soul. Oh, these are now the fat pastures. These are now the still waters by which the Lord is leading his people by times through this life. And that the psalmist, he may sing so sweetly of when that soul may have so much rest. And when that soul may have so much peace, when it may lean, when it may rest, when it may trust in that bare word of the Lord against everything
and that seemeth to come against it. Or it was in such a way that David, he may look further than that sword and that spear. He may look further than that might and that power of that great man Goliath. And that he may go forward in his life as if that man he is already conquered. Thus he may go forward and fight that warfare by faith. Oh, so that Gideon, when the Lord had confirmed it unto him, that he may go against a great multitude as grasshoppers with but 300 men, and that not even a sword in their hand. Oh, what a blessed state, what a blessed condition of that true church of God. Oh, this is how that publican, though he dared not lift his eyes to heaven, this is how now that man may go down unto his house justified. Oh, where in those moments were all the accusations of that prince of darkness? Oh, then his voice, and that is so completely closed, and by the exercise of that faith confirmed in the life of this people. Oh, this is now the people that in those moments may see that it is not only the promise, but that it is so completely fulfilled, and that all their sins, though they are as scarlet, and they shall be white as snow, though they be as crimson, and yet they are as wool. Oh, this is the way that though Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am," still that he may exult, and that he says, "Who shall separate us from that love of Christ?" Oh, blessed faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. Oh, blessed exercise of faith, which is so to the honor and to the glory of the Lord who gave it. Then Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. That is now the fruit of it, that Abram may build an altar unto the Lord. And there Abram, who was brought by the Lord, delivered out of Egypt, where he had brought himself into circumstances that he could not deliver himself out of. And then to have the Lord come and confirm to him that word that he has spoken, then Abram may see so clearly that he is the beginning and that he is the ending, that he is the Alpha and that he is the Omega. And there Abram may bow his knees, and there Abram may worship the Lord. That is now the fruit, the blessed fruit of that confirmation of the Lord. O congregation, are we a stranger of this life of Abram? Or have we at least even a desire in an outward way that we may know such a life? But you see now what is necessary. What has to happen? The Lord has to come. The Lord has to speak. It must be in a personal way. Or it is directly unto Abram. And the Lord said unto Abram. You say, is that still possible? Yes, that is still possible. You say, they are dark days that we live in with our dear children. That is the truth. But why is it possible? Not because our hearts are so receptive to it, because they are not receptive to it. It is just the opposite. We are receptive to everything that is in this world, but it is still possible. Children, youth, young people, listen. We read it in the Word of God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that is why it is still possible. Go on your knees. Go on your knees in your own inner chamber. And there seek it from Him who has all the power given to Him in heaven and in earth. People of the Lord, oh, how many times do you not ask, Lord, come again. Lord, come again. Say it again unto my soul. Oh, wilt thou confirm thy own word, that I may know, Lord, that it was from thee. Why? Why do you desire it? Because you are not a stranger of faith. Because the Lord has given you to experience something of the blessedness of believing. And that is the most blessed condition of that spiritual life that you have ever experienced. When you may believe it, and when you have to believe it. And when the Lord himself brings that faith into exercise. Oh, why do you ask him? Because you are not a stranger of what it means to believe. But why do you ask him? Because you are also not a stranger of what doubts and fears are in your life. The enemy, he mocks. And he says you just love it in your misery. In your heart, you say, Lord, thou knowest that it is not the truth. But what is now the reality? I cannot change it. I cannot change it. That is the truth. And there is only one thing that can drive that awful and that wretched unbelief out of this heart. And that is that the Lord comes again. That is the only thing. And I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. That is now the life of that faith here below. Until that faith that is not necessary anymore. Until that faith that is exchanged for an eternal beholding. And then they shall see him. And how shall they see him? We read as the lamb that had been slain. They shall see him. And then what? Then they shall fall. Shall fall before him, and they shall worship him, world without end. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, drive out the prince of darkness. O drive him out, Lord. Thou art stronger than he. O give him no more place in us. And in our dear children, and wilt thou give that holy jealousy to be born in the heart of each and every one for that blessed life of thy servant. Thou art the beginning, thou art the ending. Forgive our many sins. Bring us safely home and together again in this afternoon hour. Give us opening in thy word. Humble us under thy goodness for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 79, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. My God, it was thy grace that did my strength supply. When thou didst hide thy face, sore troubled then was I. To thee I cried, O Lord, to thee I made my supplicating plea. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 79.
My head.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.